Today's program is brought to you by Cane Vineyard and Winery, a Napa Valley winery committed to respecting the soil and dedicated to the creation of three Cabernet blends. For more information, visit cane5.com.
This is Michael Harlan Turkel, host of The Food Scene. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
You're listening to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food on Heritage Radio Network with me, Erica Wides, your humble host. And, ooh, there's some weird background noise going on here today, Jack. What's that about? Ooh, no? Okay.
No, I hear it a little bit, too.
Yeah.
I feel like we're in the subway.
Oh.
Whatever. Okay.
Oh.
I don't know. Anyway, welcome to Let's Get Real, cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. That's me. Things, as you know, occasionally get a little lonely down here in Fallout Shelter. I've mentioned this because this is the summer of guests, right? We had Andrea and Kara a few weeks ago who wrote In a Nutshell. We got all crazy, nutty about nuts. And then we had the beer guys on a couple weeks ago. Because I'm realizing that humans need contact. It's important to have people around. And, you know, remember the twins? The Foodiness Fallout Shelter twins, Lexi and Hampton. And, you know, we ship them off to boarding school. And then I shipped them off to camp again this summer. It's really cool. It's a Soviet-style re-education camp, which I'm hoping will teach them a lesson or two. But they're gone. Jack just came back from Bonnaroo. He's a mess. You know, Chris isn't really involved anymore. It gets lonely down here. So I've decided it's the summer of guests. So today in the Fallout Shelter, we have guests. And these guests are known collectively as the Sarcastic Nutritionist, and it is Josh and Gretchen, whose last name I don't even know.
Klauser.
Klauser.
Yeah, we like to remain anonymous.
Josh and Gretchen. Klauser, who are, I guess, are you both called Sarcastic Nutritionist?
Yeah, I wrote Gretchen in.
You wrote
in into it. Mm-hmm. She had no choice. Well, yeah, we are both
the Sarcastic Nutritionist. So I don't even know how I found them or came to connect with them. Suddenly they were in my life. I saw a link or I saw something and I said, holy crap, that name.
Alone.
Yeah. You know, as one sarcastic curmudgeon to another, I saw it and I said, I got to get in touch with these people. So I sent them a little email on their blog and said, what did I say? I'm sarcastic too. Let's talk.
And I thought for the first like 5 seconds, this might be hate mail. I don't know what's happening. I'm a little nervous. I'm going to throw it to Gretchen. I don't even know how.
The stars aligned. Well, as my Yiddish-speaking grandparents would have said, it was beshert, which means it's meant to be.
Yeah, well, I think it probably was true. Yeah.
Yeah, meant to be. So I said, you guys should totally come down to New York and be on the show. I didn't realize you lived so far north in Connecticut, like Hartford.
Light years away. But it's
Here they are. So welcome to the Foodiness Fallout Shelter.
Thank you.
I like the vibe.
Yeah,
I like
vibe.
It.
Yeah, it's super cool, right?
It's good.
Sometimes it's hard to feel cool enough to be here. But I tried.
You're rocking it. You're making it look good.
Oh,
I'm wearing
thanks.
My flannel shirt.
Yeah, there you go.
With metal buttons that really...
yes. Right in that sort of like white trash cowboy ethos.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm wearing my Toms.
Hopefully so you're okay.
So, yeah,
they let you in the front door.
Yeah
you're okay. Okay, so would you guys like to tell us what the Sarcastic Nutritionist is, what you do? Give a little background.
So as a registered dietitian, in the news every other day, there is just stuff that literally makes my head spin. How
join the club.
Yeah, like this is really hot. Like the newest one, people drinking charcoal. Yeah, have you heard about
no.
that? So it's like charcoal, active charcoal and lemonade And it's supposed to help get the toxins.
Oh,
and it's a not filter.
Yeah. Not just if your kid eats poison.
Right. Or, you know, like when somebody, poison or...
suicide attempt.
Yeah. Or when, you know, large amounts of alcohol.
Right.
They pump the gut. But now it's in your lemonade and people are drinking it. Mm. Oh, my toxins.
Oh, we should have
my
asked for some in our coffee this morning.
So, you know, seeing that every day, and I just needed to... I'm not the best writer, I will admit. Mm-hmm. I don't think, because I wasn't breastfed.
I formula. Wasn't either, but I'm a good writer.
Look, we're all writers.
Oh, okay.
You know, well, I call formula is the gateway foodiness drug.
Absolutely, it's where it all starts.
Yeah, it all starts mm-hmm. with formula.
So, I was formula. Darn it. So, I needed an outlet to create, so I started creating memes and kind of poking fun at the nutrition world. And it just started picking up steam. And then I was like, Gretchen, do you mind proofreading this stuff? And then something happened with the ADA, the American Dietetic Association. It opened up a whole new gate because I started blogging with the when they teamed up with Kraft, mm-hmm. the Kraft Singles. And
right,
then,
put their seal of approval on Kraft Singles.
Then it got real.
Yeah. And I sat down and I said, I'm going to write. I'm going to learn how to write, and I'm going to write this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you have the rage. You have the food rage like I do. Yeah. So that's you. And what about you, Gretchen? What's your deal?
So I'm a social worker. I'm a therapist. I primarily work with kids. And yeah, I just kind of help along the way and kind of bring in the human side of mm-hmm. this anger that he has and try to relate it to other people. So, yeah.
Cool. And before we sort of get on to our main topic, which is, of course, foodiness, explain the difference between a dietitian and nutritionist, because people don't really know and they're confused.
Good
and,
questions. Good
questions.
I would like to say student loans. If you have student loans,
first of all,
then you're a dietitian.
Oh, okay. Can like anybody call themselves a nutritionist?
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Gretchen could be a nutritionist.
Yes, today I am one.
I could be.
Mm-hmm.
You are. Hey,
you are.
Wow.
Let's all be nutritionists.
We are all new. I'm going to be a nutritionist today, too.
It's like in certain states, you can be a therapist. You just hang out a sign and say, I'm a therapist.
Right. Don't say that you're licensed, though, because then you'll get in trouble.
Oh. Okay. So anybody can be a nutritionist, but to be an RD,
you go to the school and, you know, the internship, and then there's a test.
Right.
And then
like
continue education for the next 5 years. You know, every 5 years, you have to do 75 hours.
Right. And then you can, like, work in hospitals.
Yep.
Telling diabetic people to drink apple juice and white bread.
Yes. Do the tube feeding, some protein. And,
You know, need some protein in there, so some Jiffy peanut butter.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And the ADA.
I don't even know what they're called, like AND now. The AND? Academy of Dietetics and Nutrition.
So isn't there a whole thing where their curriculum is heavily influenced, written by and sponsored by like Coca-Cola, Minute Maid, Kraft, and
PepsiCo? Yeah, the whole shebang.
Right. And at their like yearly conference, there's giant like sponsor booths and free products and the lunch is provided by McDonald's.
Yep. And signs that say, you know, you're not allowed to take photos after this point.
Yeah, right.
Nice.
Ironic.
Fantastic.
Good transparency there. Yeah. And those are the people who are controlling what our kids eat and our people in hospitals eat.
And then I think something happens too, because then, you know, once you become that RD, like you go through this kind of, after, you know, the 3 or 4 years, you're like, something's not right. Something doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
I think I was kind of fed a lot. Yeah, and then you start like a caterpillar. I'm going to bust loose and be this moth or fly, you know, butterfly.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or moth.
Yeah.
Or like depending moth. On what you are to start with.
And then, and then you start, you know, kind of doing your own research and digging, and you realize, I think I've been fed some lies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where I was like a year and a half ago.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, are you able, like... How restricted are you by them as a dietitian? Like, do you have to follow their guidelines and follow their... you work in a hospital?
I do public health.
Okay.
Public health, community nutrition. There is a van that I've noticed since we started TSN that's always in front of our condo.
You're being
watched. It's probably them.
Right.
Probably the association.
Just waiting.
They're watching.
We might actually be tapped right now. I'm not sure.
No, this is safe. We're waiting. No. This is the fallout shelter. We're underground.
Okay,
we're
that's true.
We got two things of water, so we're good.
Yeah, we're
Jack better be monitoring. I just want to make sure.
No, I don't know. I wonder that sometimes. Like, if, you know, am I going to get a letter someday, like settle down or
right?
But I think a lot of RDs are there as well, like, you know, because they did with that the Kraft and putting the logo of Eat Right on Kraft Singles and saying, you know, we support this. A lot of RDs petitioned and was like, this isn't right. And then they ended up removing it. But
So people aren't aware of what we're actually just sort of talking about. A few months ago, I guess maybe in the past year, it was announced that craft singles were now getting the like stamp of approval by the whatever it's called, the ADA, as a great food for kids because kids are lacking in calcium, vitamin D, and
there was one and they need like lower sodium
and so this was a great product, a product that can't even legally be called cheese,
right?
And it can't even legally be called cheese food, which is what American cheese was called. It has to be called cheese product, processed pasteurized cheese product.
Yes.
What the fuck is that?
Oh, right? No. And if you can take that cheese and throw it up and it gets stuck. As a kid, we would take that. We would take the Kraft cheeses and like throw it places and it would get stuck.
Right. And so that's a product that's being endorsed and approved by the professional group that's supposed to be setting the standards for what children in America are eating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So no wonder you want to like pull your hair out and your head explodes as a nutritionist, right? Because I know it's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
That's why this is the only safe place here.
Well, I feel
in the shelter.
I do too.
Right, we're in a shelter. Okay, so because one of you is a nutrition dietitian / food person, and one of you is a therapist who deals with kids and teenagers, right? You said adolescents.
Yes. Yep.
I don't know.
There's some small ones in there too. Yep.
Are you personally heavily medicated in order to deal with that demographic?
Caffeinated.
Oh, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
You just crank it
I
up instead
caffeinate,
of...
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't have kids. I'm not...
No, neither do we.
I don't really approve of them. No. I don't really enjoy them.
They're very confusing. It's true.
Yeah. Mm. I don't want... I mean, it's too late. I'm not having... But... But I have friends with children, and I see what they feed them, and it's really, really hard for me to not be like super judgington, jumping all over them, even though I understand how hard it is and the challenges, and that they're confronted with all this crap at every turn, and the messages are just insane. And if your kid is screaming and having a meltdown, and you're exhausted and want to kill yourself, it's easier to just go to the drive-thru, and I get that.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Totally get it. Although, I mean, when I was a kid, you know, a lot of that shit didn't exist because I'm, you know, old. So, but the topic that has come up recently, which is what I thought would be really interesting to talk about with you two, if we ever get around to it, is there was a story a few days ago making the rounds about a study that was done about kids in school, and that I forgot what the number was, but a very large percentage of American kids are dehydrated. They run this sort of low level of dehydration all day. And there are kids in America who actually don't drink any water throughout the course of the entire day.
That's it.
Part of it is because of the prevalence of sports drinks and Capri Sun and soda and all the sugar sweetened stuff that they're ingesting instead of water. And one thing they said was that in a lot of older sort of inner city school districts, they've disconnected the water fountains because of fear of lead in the pipes getting into the water, or just paranoia about using a water fountain.
Yeah.
And now just drinking water. People have this kind of level of fear about just drinking tap water.
Nobody drinks out of hoses anymore.
Nobody drinks out of hoses.
Oh, that was the best.
Yeah. Although I have heard that you shouldn't drink out of the hose because the hoses themselves can really leach.
I mean, that could be an issue.
Toxic chemicals. And when I was a kid, I'm sure the fittings were all made out of lead.
Oh,
and that's
probably
why I am this way. But, I mean, so it touches on a lot of topics. So I was like, that's really interesting. So all of these kids aren't drinking any water. And they said, you know, and that some of the symptoms of dehydration, of course, are lethargy, lack of attention, tiredness, you know, sort of having a hard time performing. And I was like, hello, those are all the symptoms of what we medicate our children for. So perhaps all of this ADHD and all this medicating we're doing isn't about any sort of real problem. It's that all of America's children are dehydrated. Just a theory floating it out there. Please discuss.
Well, I just couldn't imagine going a day without drinking some H2O.
I mean, drink like a gallon of water a day. We're drinking water right now.
Yeah.
And New York has great tap water.
Yeah.
As a kid, that was the best. Like, you know, during, you know, going to the drinking fountain, and then one of your buddies is drinking in front of you and like, save some water for the whales, you know, like, you guys never said that?
No, that's not funny.
Well, when you're
It's kind of dumb.
You went,
that's or the classic, your buddy's drinking out of the water fountain, gets, and you go, bam.
That's what I thought you were going to say, and you pushed his face into it.
That's what I did.
But it was also just an excuse to leave the classroom.
Yeah.
You'd be like, I'm thirsty.
Oh, wow. Totally.
No water.
Does that mean kids don't do that anymore?
I guess not. I don't know. But I thought, like, okay, first day of school, everybody gets issued a water bottle, a refillable water bottle, BPA-free water bottle. Don't worry, Mom. It's BPA-free. It's full of other toxins, but no BPA,
but
so you're
no
okay,
BPA.
And no gluten. And everybody has their water bottle, and in the morning, everybody fills up their water bottle. They keep it on their desk, and everyone drinks water all day. Why aren't we doing that?
It's way too simple.
It's way too simple. Yeah.
Well, I even heard, too, that legally, I think, for school cafeterias, they are supposed to be, you know, the option of serving water. And I, growing up, I don't remember.
No, we never had. It was just milk.
Yeah. But, I mean, it is supposed to be an option.
That there's water available?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's little tiny plastic bottles of water, of course, which is ridiculous also.
Yeah.
Like, why is that? Why does water have to be bottled? Why has water become a commodity beverage? Which is what I don't understand.
Because I want to pay $4.
Yeah.
Poor.
Okay, so what about this connection do you think? I mean, as Gretchen, as a therapist, I'm sure you deal with lots of kids who are medicated for all of these issues.
Oh, absolutely. What's sad to me is I'm seeing parents coming in with three-year-olds who are wondering, does my kid have ADHD?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, he's three first.
Right, he's a three-year-old.
Yeah, they have what's called energy. They like to bounce around and jump and yell and scream and learn what they're supposed to do and what they're not supposed to do. But I could potentially see some sort of connection with what you're saying there. I don't see any kids, you know, young up to teenagers coming in with any type of water. They're all drinking these beverages you're talking about. And the agency that I'm at right now, we actually have one of those water refillable water jugs out in the waiting room.
Yeah.
And it's like a special treat for kids when they come in. They're like, oh, I want to go to the water jug. And they get so excited to get a glass.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just because it's something new or because they're actually getting water for the first time. But it's really...
It's become this like, ooh, unique treat. Ooh, what's this? Yeah.
Yeah. But it is... I'm definitely seeing what you're talking about.
I mean, it's, you know, I'm just floating the theory out there. But I mean, it seems to make sense to me. If the symptoms of dehydration are lethargy and tiredness, and, you know, because I know if I'm getting dehydrated, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
Like someone should medicate me. And then not only are they not drinking water, but then they're drinking all of these products that are sugar sweetened, first of all, and, you know, artificially colored and artartificially flavored.
With the dyes.
You're drinking something blue.
First of all.
That's what I like to say to people. Like, you realize what you're basically giving your child is sweetened Windex. You're feeding them something blue.
Yeah.
Blue dye.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, what is that doing to their little brains? And, you know, there's this idea that sugar... you know, because it's an inflammatory, is potentially the cause of Alzheimer's. Have you heard that one?
No.
That they're starting to call Alzheimer's type 3 diabetes.
Oh, I've heard, yes.
Right? Because it's like diabetes of the brain, and it comes from eating way more sugar than we've ever eaten at any time in human history. You know, we eat like something like 125 pounds of sugar per person per year now.
Insane.
And 100 years ago, it was like, I forgot, you know, a pound and a half a year or something like that.
Yeah, and that's whether that's, you know... corn syrup or coconut sugar or cane syrup.
Yeah,
sugar,
it's all sugar.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, high fructose corn syrup has just been renamed too. You must know about
this,
right?
Corn syrup.
They tried corn sugar and then that was rejected. So now they're just calling it fructose. Because people see fructose and they're like, oh, that's from fruit, right? And then it's okay.
There's that.
Yeah. Anyway, we have to take a quick break. We've gone over. So we're going to take a short break. We'll regroup and we'll be right back.
Key in music.
This is Chris Howell from Cane Vineyard and Winery, calling in from Spring Mountain above the Napa Valley. Thank you for listening to this show. In our industrial world of highly processed food and wine, we support the values of Heritage Radio Network. All of us at Cane encourage you to seek out individuality and beauty in everything you eat and drink. To learn more about us, go to cane5.com.
Welcome back to Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food with me, Erica Wides, your host, here on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. And you know, the Heritage Radio Network is member-supported. We did a big membership drive not that long ago, but I know some of you out there are not members. You're just freeloaders. And you really should join. If you listen to NPR, you know how they manipulate and make you feel guilty and all of that. I'm not trying to do that, but, you know, if you could see where we are here, you'd know that we are members. But we need some money. We need some funding. Actually, we're fine. But you should be members. That's all I'm going to say. So joining us today down here in the Foodiness Fallout Shelter, the only safe place left in America, are Josh and Gretchen Clauser from The Sarcastic Nutritionist.
Yes, hello.
Welcome back.
Hello.
Welcome back. So we're sitting here today talking about, obviously, food and foodiness. And I want to talk about a couple of things. We don't have that much more time. Well, we can go long. It's okay.
Do what you want here.
It's, you know, there's no FCC, so we can do whatever we want. Hospital food. So hospital food, as an RD, I'm sure you encounter the feeding regimes in hospitals. My husband's father is quite old, 80 something, and he is sort of borderline diabetic. And a couple years ago, he was hospitalized for something. I can't even remember what it was. And, you know, Adam went to take care of him in the hospital, and they brought him in his lunch, and it was like apple juice, white bread, margarine, and then I can't remember something else. Yeah, like a potato or something like that. And Adam looked at it, and he like found the nurse or something and said, "My father's diabetic. It says it right here on his chart. Why are you giving him white bread and apple juice? Oh, and Jell-O. There was Jell-O, white bread, apple juice. Yeah. And so what is that about?
I mean, that's lovely.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it was a mistake. I don't know. I know you weren't there. But but then, like, sort of on the other end.
I'll take blame.
Yeah.
I'm going to take blame for
you
all that.
You and all your people.
Yeah,
that
your
was
people.
Me.
Yeah. You guys were still somewhere in the Midwest at the time.
Yeah, probably.
You know, bumbling around.
They probably would give you gravy in the Midwest, though. On top of.
On your Jell-O.
Yeah, on top of your Jell-O.
But then, like, sort of on the other end of the spectrum, a friend of mine in Ohio works for a hospital called Ahuja. Have you heard of Ahuja?
No.
It's in Cleveland. I think it's called Ahuja. And he's the executive chef at this hospital, and he makes this, like, incredible, you know, nutritious, real food. They source stuff locally. So I think, you know, there's sort of the two ends of the spectrum. Like, as I say, this is bipolar food America, where, you know, you have, like, on one hand, places like this that it's all about local and artisanal and real food, and everybody's all excited about eating kale and quinoa and everything's great. And then you have, you know, everything else. And so I see that going on with hospitals. So, you know, my friend has this great job as executive chef at this hospital. And then I also see sort of what happens at the other end of things. So, like, what's going on there? Can you explain?
I will attempt to explain. I have not worked in the hospital for a while.
Okay.
So, I'm out in the...
So, I can't hold you accountable.
Yes, the community, doing community nutrition. But I think there is slowly a movement trying to... I mean, because you're only healthy, you know, what you put in your mouth. So, I mean, you have a heart attack, go to the hospital, get...
Yeah, I mean, often food is the reason why you're in the hospital, and so food should be what gets you out of the hospital, and food, you know, let thy food be thy medicine. But obviously, that's, you know, people aren't listening to that, you know. So how, you know, how much of it is influenced by industry and big corporate contracts, you know, like in school feeding contracts, and does it have to do, you know, is it public
Sodexo
versus private, Sodexo, all those big companies, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just got a text from my husband that said Jell-O. Because we forgot. That's what I know. I said Jell-O.
Jell-O. She got it. She got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's definitely that, you know, correlation, that tie, big money in the hospitals. I mean, that's a moneymaker right there.
Mm-hmm. How did we get to that? How did somebody, some CEO of a hospital system approve, say, like, oh, yeah, let's use, like, Sodexo as our feeding contractor and let's give the diabetics white bread and Jell-O and apple juice?
Mm-hmm. I think what would almost be, I'd be curious about this. If there was a way to have like a lab in a hospital, like a cooking lab. So when they, you know, because I mean, sometimes dietitians go in, somebody has a heart attack. They're not ready to listen to a dietitian. They just had a heart attack. And it's like, I got to deal with this right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear about 24 hour food recall and, you know, all that. But, you know, maybe after they get that straightened out, that they could come back later that month and learn how to maybe cook or
cook or bake.
Yeah,
how to just learn about food, because some people are very clueless about food because they bought into the message from big ag and big food. And, right. And all these people for years were eating all their margarine trying to prevent their heart attack, and it's probably the margarine that caused their heart attack in the first place.
And then also, too, it's like when I was doing my clinical rotation for my internship, we'd see these individuals, we'd chart them. And then, you know, I'd be like, are we going to call them back? Are we doing anything? Any follow-up? Nope. We
really?
Send them out.
Yeah.
No
send
follow-up.
Them, no follow-up.
So they don't
that
get
was
any...
just for the hospital that I... So I don't want to speak...
Right. For all. But so they wouldn't get any nutritional counseling or training or anything.
And what they would get is maybe 6 minutes.
Wow.
If that.
Yeah. And MDs aren't given really any sort of nutrition information.
Oh,
and
no.
all their
no.
info is totally outdated.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I remember going to my OBGYN office and they took blood or whatever. And then she was like, you know, your cholesterol's a little high. We advise our patients to follow a low-fat diet. I was like, really? What year is this?
Yeah. I'm going to eat six eggs.
1993.
Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, thanks. I think I know better now. Thanks.
Yeah. And that's slowly coming around as well with the, you know, they finally were saying, yeah, egg, you know, it's probably not the diet, you know. It's probably genetics.
Genetics, and it's eating a diet, you know, of heavily processed white flour, white sugar. I mean, that's, I'm convinced the white flour, white sugar, that is the cause of all disease, all ills in our
society. Well, you have my vote as well. Yeah.
Yeah, and it just makes me, you know, in just... crazy. There was a nutritionist on our local NPR the other day on I can't remember what the subject of the show was about, but she was talking, you know, about how there's so much confusion and what should people eat, and people were calling in. And she was still saying, be really careful about the saturated fat. Limit your saturated fat. You should, you know, maybe want to. And I was like, who is this person? Why did they bring her on?
And the classic too, everything in moderation. So you're telling me, I mean, what's that mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm drinking 8 sodas a day or pop. I'm going to stay true to the Midwest. 8 pops a day.
Oh,
well,
sorry.
Everything in moderation. So I should maybe, does that mean 3 then?
3.
I can
still
have 3?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Cut it back down to 3. You'll be okay.
Yeah. That's only moderation.
Right. Only smoke half a pack of cigarettes.
Oh my gosh.
Instead of a whole pack. You'll be okay. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
All fired up.
So there's, I mean, that's, I was walking over here and I was thinking, like, there's so much conflicting information out there, and there's so many people talking. Even me, I'm part of the problem.
Yeah.
You're part of the problem. We sit here and we talk about it. Nobody really knows what's going on. No studies are really conclusive. It's like, what are we supposed to do? I feel like my head's going
to
explode.
Yeah, it's like, but where to start?
Yeah, where to start?
It's,
and even I feel I have this constant issue, you know, where I'm trying to figure out what to eat or what's best or what's not right. And, a couple of years ago, I talked about this. You know, I feel like I have orthorexia. Have you heard about orthorexia?
Oh, yeah.
You know, which is now, I guess, becoming like a legit diagnosed thing. But I feel like I was the first person with orthorexia.
You were number one.
Right.
First
I
one.
Win.
Well, because I yeah, you were talking about that like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's all, it's the, you know, the in the news is, every other.
It'll probably be like in the DSM, you know.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, orthorexia. And I totally see it. I see it in myself. I see it in my friends. I feel like there's so much information and I don't know who to believe. I don't even trust myself. I don't know what to do. I eat an egg a day and it's a pastured free range egg that I buy directly from the farmer. So that's supposed to be good. But maybe they're really right about eggs. Maybe, you know, I shouldn't be eating these. I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
After
it's
this,
exhausting.
We're, you know, we're going to go sit out there and eat pizza after this. And I hardly ever eat pizza because I'm like, well, it's made with white flour. What if the white flour is going to be? Should I eat the pizza? I don't know if I should. What am I going to eat? What am I going to do with the pizza? But they use good flour. But who do they source their flour from? But, you know, who's
growing and
flour?
How are the farmers treated?
Is
I
it bromated? Exactly. Where's the flour coming from? Who's being exploited? And then my head explodes.
Yes. And then I'll just have a bowl of cereal.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, my God, you scared me.
I'm just kidding.
You know, cereal to me, like, cereal is like the devil's food.
Oh, and I think. As a child, I remember there was like five, six different brands. And if you go down the cereal now.
Oh, thousands.
That's
of just one brand.
Yeah.
Or like Cheerios. When is 17
like
different Cheerios?
15 flavors of Cheerios. But they're GMO free now.
Oh, right, yes.
GMO
and
free Cheerios.
And gluten free sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, let's talk about gluten, because we have like 5 more minutes. We'll go over a little. Let's talk
let's get real.
About gluten. Okay, so I am a firm believer that we have that the levels of gluten in our diet are much higher than they were 50, 100 years ago because of industrialized hybrids of wheat and industrialized bread production. The speeding up of bread production has forced us or enabled us to use these strains of wheat that are much higher in gluten. And I believe that gluten does cause symptoms and potential problems for a lot of people. However, I feel like the fear of gluten is becoming this sort of like substitute, like boogeyman for all sorts of other things. And I love how like a mom will give her kid like the blue Windex flavored sports drink. But if there's one molecule of gluten in the kid's Goldfish cracker or, you know, whatever snack, they're like freaking out because they think the gluten's going to kill them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Please discuss.
Well,
And go.
I think because, I mean, you can really spin your head. So I think people pick and choose, but it does make no sense because it's kind of like, there's...
It's contradicting for sure.
Well, let me interrupt you here. I mean, the way I see it is if I'm going to eat bread and if I'm going to eat gluten, I'm going to eat really high quality.
Yes.
Artisanal, you know, bread.
I want some bite
pizza.
Back.
I want some bite back. I want it made from good flour. I don't want it made from, you know, industrial GMO Pillsbury or, you know, whatever flour. Luckily, living here in New York, in like, as I call it, ground zero of like foodie, you know, hipster zone, you can get all that. I can buy bread made from flour that's made from wheat that's grown 100 miles north of here and ground by hand by bearded, tattooed hipsters, you know, with. Yeah. Pierced sternums.
Absolutely.
Like, and that's good, and I'm lucky, and I have that. So if I choose to eat bread, that's what I choose to eat.
We remember that when Wonder Bread, we thought they were going out of business, and I was like, I should probably have this one last time. And so we bought a loaf, and I couldn't even spread the peanut butter on it. It was just like,
shreds.
And then I had, and it was just getting stuck
just
in my teeth, and I was like,
your mouth.
Bread should not be, and then my childhood done. Yeah, it was just a reminder that...
Right. Well, you are both from the Midwest.
I mean...
I'm sorry.
Raised on it, let's be honest.
I'm sorry. I mean, there... You know, you hate to admit your parents were right about anything, but my parents, they were right about bread. When we were kids, we weren't allowed that kind of shitty bread, you know. We didn't eat, like, artisanal, you know, but my mom made bread, and...
Yep, so did mine.
Or we would buy, you know, like, whatever it was, you know, Arnold Hardy Grains, which I know is, like, total bullshit now, but... We were never allowed that stuff, and we couldn't have sweetened cereal. We didn't have things, you know, like devil dog, like none of that. It was all like homemade, you know, pretty decent for the '70s, decent quality food. And I still remember, I've talked about this on the show before, being probably, you know, 6 years old and standing in the kitchen, you know, legs apart, hands on my hips, you know, one hand raised in like a, you know, Hitler Youth kind of fashion, vowing. I stood there and I like yelled, I was vowing, when I'm grown up and I live by myself, all I'm going to eat is Devil Dogs and Captain Crunch.
Absolutely.
And you won't be able to stop me. My mother being like, okay, you know, whatever. Insane.
But in my house, you're gonna eat.
Yeah. And here I am, you know, 40 years later. And what would I eat for breakfast? Quinoa.
Yes, absolutely.
With nori and turmeric.
I feel like I have the exact same story. In my house growing up, my mom would always bring in the healthy options. I was never allowed to have any soda pop in the house. There was never any of the blue Windex provided for me. She was always getting the healthy bread if that was an option. But I would always fight back, and I was the same way. When I grow up, I'm drinking Mountain Dew every single day. I'm going to do whatever I want. But now, what are we doing? We're doing the quinoa and nice farm-raised eggs for breakfast. And
The first time I met
your mom,
she was like, let's go in the garden and cut some basil. Yeah. I was like, wow.
I know.
Except then my mom got divorced, and we all started eating, like, lean cuisine and drinking Diet Coke because everything fell apart.
Game changer.
We came back around. But then she moved to Florida, and now she lives on, I don't know what she eats in Florida.
We don't know what
they do down there. We can't talk about Florida. And their governor.
I drink that. Weird.
I'll just have a sip. I don't know what they do in Florida. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to know. I try not to.
No, because I feel like that was a whole other topic to get me revved up again. I was just getting cooled down from the ADA. And
about
then
Jeb?
Get me all fired up again.
Yeah. There's this funny thing going around Facebook with Job Bluth. Do you watch Arrested Development?
No.
Oh. No.
No.
Really? You're sarcastic people.
I think we started watching it, and it just, I don't know. We don't watch too much of a lot of things.
Yeah, we watched the one that was on Netflix.
Yeah, well,
those were the beginnings.
The last season?
Yeah.
Oh, those were bad. You got to go back and watch the early.
That's where
anyway,
we started, yeah.
Joe Bluth, who's the son, and Jeb Bush, who's the son. There's this funny comparison of it, whatever.
Okay, sorry.
You're going to have to go back and watch like all six seasons all before right. you can come back on again as guest.
And then okay, I will sorry. Call
and
in.
And then we can talk about that as a reference.
Okay. Yeah.
But, right. Oh, I get that. Okay.
Yeah.
I let you
all right,
down.
Well, we've gone over, and normally I take two breaks, but it's okay because there's no one on after me. But it's time for lunch.
It's about time.
I think it's time.
I mean,
I'm scared now.
Pizza, this pizza and these people eating this gorgeous
it's
food
It's pretty
out here.
Good. Yeah, and I never, ever have pizza here. Rarely.
Is today a special
when I have
occasion?
Guests. Well, if I have guests, I eat lunch. When I first started doing the show here, however many years ago, we basically got to eat whatever we wanted afterwards. It was like the pay. It was the deal. And it was before Jack. There was a different engineer than this guy. And I would be like, no, I'm not eating. I'm leaving. And so he would use my credit like every week. And he'd be eating like duck
Lucky.
And pasta. And, what was his name? Lorenzo? Lorenzo, right?
That was the culprit.
Yeah, Lorenzo. Yeah. He got us all in trouble. Ruined it for
Thanks,
everybody. Anyway,
Lorenzo.
So we have to wrap it up. Any final words of advice, wisdom about adolescent therapy or nutrition you want to get in there?
Let your kids be kids and watch, you know.
Yeah, go play in the dirt.
Yeah, and watch what you're feeding
your knees.
Like,
yeah,
let's just
scuff
think
your
about
knees.
It for a second.
Play in the dirt and get some bacteria into you.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, stop washing your hands and don't use antibacterial soap.
Let the immune system work itself.
Right.
<Exactly. laughs> Let your food get a little moldy and rotten, too.
Yeah,
that's
good
what
for
I
you.
Say. I think it's good for you. Let your stuff sit out on the counter for a few days. I think that's important.
Yeah?
We are over-sanitized.
Oh, no, I truly agree with that.
No, I agree with that, absolutely.
Yeah, just cut off the mold. You're fine. You'll live.
Lick a doorknob.
Off, people.
Lick a doorknob. Get on the subway.
Sure, yeah, right?
Iron from that. Like a subway seat? I don't know.
Oh, my God.
You see gum, just pick it up. Start chewing.
Gum. Oh, I had this. We'll just keep talking.
I apologize.
I had this great idea. A couple of years ago to start an artisanal recycled gum brand where I was going to like
did that go?
Go around the city collecting all the gum that people like drop and stick everywhere. And we would like sterilize it using UV light, you know, and then we would reflavor it with like artisanal locally sourced flavors.
Beet juice.
Whatever. Yeah. Or like go to the juice bars and get all the like dregs and, you know, extract it and dehydrate it. And then we would, it would be repurposed, recycled, artisanal Brooklyn gum.
Beautiful.
Let's kickstart it.
Beautiful.
I will.
That's so hipster.
I give you the
Let's
first $40 right here.
And
I get a t-shirt. What
you
do
know
I?
What? And I bet this stupid.
It would, yes, it would go.
Buy it. People would buy
totally.
Recycled gum.
Absolutely.
Because the gum base itself never goes away.
Oh, no.
Like, it doesn't dissolve. You know,
you
it's there
the
forever. It's just a wad of chewable plastic, basically. So why not recycle it?
That's so green.
Man.
Yes.
Redo it. We could package it in, like, cool little, like, you know, hand-printed artisanal paper.
Yes.
It could be the Masked Brothers of gum.
Paper.
Yeah.
And we get, like, some, like, the special editions. Like, we'll write a little story about it. Like, this was found during the fall of, like,
geolocate the gum. Like, talk about hyper-local. We could be like, this gum comes from the north side of Williamsburg during the fall. But this gum comes from near, you know, lower Manhattan in the spring. And you can taste the terroir.
Different seasons.
And different seasons. Because terroir, you know, is everything. Like, with wine. And
gorgeous,
with terroir.
Did you think of a name for this gum?
I did not.
Oh, you didn't get that far.
I didn't get that far.
I could see, like, even having, like, vintage years. This is a 2002 vintage gum. It was one of our good years.
Our good years.
Yes.
Something like so Re-Chew. Awesome. Re-Chew.
Re-Chew.
Or
oh. Yeah, because you have to get the recycled,
repurpose. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Re-Chew is good. You know, we should call it Cud.
Cud.
Because it's like what cows do, right?
Cud.
They spit it back up and keep
and
chewing
you
it.
Have to
this
chew
one had
it
a pet
like
cow
this.
Growing up.
Cud. Yeah. Of course you did.
Absolutely I did. I mean, why not?
I had a guinea pig, and I got pneumonia in sixth grade, and I gave the guinea pig pneumonia and killed it.
No, you did not.
Oh, no.
This is real
That
life.
Just spiraled.
I don't know if I gave it the pneumonia. I didn't clean its cage for a long time, which I think is what
did
killed it.
Did you use
it.
Cedar chips?
I don't know what I did. I hated it.
They had that wee.
Oh, imagine a pig with pneumonia.
They're really gross pigs. They're gross pets, and I understand why people eat them.
Yeah. I've heard like people say like if we change that to our meat source,
it would, guinea pig. Yeah, we should. I mean, rabbit. Yeah. I think we should be eating.
I grew up eating rabbit.
I love rabbit.
Buckshot, like squirrel and rabbit, Midwest.
Oh my god,
for real. Really? We would have a plate in the middle, squirrel. And we'd have to put
the buckshot.
Yeah.
This is real life.
I'm dead serious. This is real.
Where was that? Missouri?
No, Indiana.
Oh, Indiana, right. Indiana.
The Hoosier State?
The Hoosiers. I have, you know, family. But my family in Indiana are transplanted Jews, academic Jews from the East Coast. They only wound up in Indiana because they were good university jobs.
So they're not real Hoosiers.
Yeah, well. No. What can I tell you? All right, we're over time. Let's go eat.
Thank you so much
for making the trip and joining us down here in the Foodiness Fallout Shelter. Thanks, we didn't even really talk about foodiness, but you get it. You're all about it. And in my best Chandler Bing impersonation, could we get any more sarcastic down here today? Which is what I wanted to call. That's what I'm calling the show. Anytime you want to come back, you're welcome. Thank you, Brooklyn, wear your Toms, wear your plaid, and they'll let you through the gates. And that's it for Let's Get Real for this week. We'll see you next week. Thanks to Jack in the control room, Ben Kaplan for the theme song. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. Yeah.